Yo, what's up, folks? And welcome to another episode of The Bait Escape. In today's episode, I'm chatting with the one, the only, the Milking Coach. We talk a lot about masturbation, growing up gay, and eating your own cum. Yeah, I hope you enjoy the episode.
What up?
Yo, what's going on, Coach?
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly.
Nice. I like that. I feel like this is conversation has been a long time coming.
Yeah, for sure. Like, have we headphones. Started or were you going to do like a countdown or something? Or
no, bro, we chatting. We're doing the damn thing.
Okay. I took a shower just for you. Look how clean I am.
I know, me too. I just have to... I was like, I have to get up and do this chat. It was really looking forward to it. I was like, I had to clean my
get ass. Up. Oh my God. I wish I had your schedule. I'm like, this day is like leaving me behind. So I'm glad for the break.
What, like not enough hours in a day?
Yeah.
You have a lot of stuff.
Not enough
going on.
Hours for dick. Huh?
What? you can say that again.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I do. I dick around.
So good. I was online yesterday on Telegram and somebody, like, I was posting a bunch of nudes of mine because I'm just like, fuck it, like full exposure now. And he was just like, wow, you must sit around and masturbate all day. And I was like, yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, if I'm not doing it, I'm thinking about it, talking about it, taking pictures about it, video about it. I don't know. It's certainly a lifestyle. How have you become used to that lifestyle?
As a baiter or milker or both?
I mean, just as a human, like you work with penis all day long. Like, what is that life like?
I mean, it's amazing. I never thought that it would be my business. Mm-hmm. It's been a fantasy to be my business. But I never thought it would be because as you know, from our private conversations, I was, deep in Hollywood doing Hollywoody things, and in the biz and, kind of faking it for a while because I'm not like a schmoozer. I'm not good at blowing smoke up people's butts. Like, you're fabulous. You're amazing. So when I got out of that in 2017, when we moved back to Atlanta, I decided I'm not going to continue this whole entertainment thing. I'm going to go into a different kind of entertainment. And luckily, you know, that started paying off, selling the movies. I haven't looked back since. But it's like, it's surreal. It really is still surreal sometimes that it's like, I penis for a living. other men's penises. If I'm not stroking it and milking it, I'm producing a show with it. Yeah. It's a dream come true. And it's still weird. It's still like, wow, I'm really doing this. But as a baiter, I mean, I joined Bait World in 2011, and I did think I found my tribe because I didn't call myself a solo sexual back then, but that's what I was. Bait World was amazing, and I found so many great people on there, met up with a lot of them in Los Angeles, and so for the past decade, 13 years, 12 wow. years, 12 years. Yeah.
12 years of your life has just been focused on dicks.
Yep. 100%. Not, I mean,
that's pretty great. No, it is crazy. I was talking to a friend and we had private conversations and I'm going through like a really interesting phase in my life. But I now have like this abundant opportunity and I'm just sitting around and I'm thinking, well, what can I really create with this? Like, what I really want to do? And I just feel like it's like a natural progression to like continue to evolve something that you're already so good at and passionate about. I was reading or I was scrolling through TikTok, and I think they were interviewing Erica Badu, and they were just like, just find that thing that you're really good at and then just like make it the best. And I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna make masturbation the best that it could possibly be. I think that's really what I've enjoyed the past couple of years. And I don't know, it feels right to be doing this type of work.
Yeah, but it's also work. I mean, as much fun as it is,
yes,
you know, putting yourself out there is huge.
Yes,
a lot of people can't do that, you know, for many, many different reasons. And you know, once you get going, once you build that beast, pun intended, you got to keep feeding it, right? Like you got to, once you have the audience, once you have the followers, you know, you got to keep it up. You got to keep going, which is fun, but it's also work too.
Yeah, for sure. No, it is definitely work. I had a really great time working with you, like on the bait off. This past bait off with Colby Jex, the winner of the second annual bait off series. I just thought that was so great. Like you were showcasing so many new up and coming baiters, and I really, really enjoyed the intention, and like the community really got involved. How do you see that series or other things that you're working on expanding into like the baiter universe?
Well, first of all, thank you, because you steered me towards a couple of those baiters that I wasn't aware of at the time. So thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, you know, this was the second year, so we kind of knew what we were doing as opposed to last year when it was all like new and new concept, not just for us, but I think for the masturbation community as a whole, you know, a competition series. I mean, it's so, I actually got emotional on the finale because these guys are just, these baiters are just one of a kind each. And together, I think the show showed how all these different styles of baiting, all these different types of baiters could really, like showcase and enhance the masturbation world because of the openness of it, the camaraderie of it, more so this cast. They were definitely supporting each other from the get-go. You know, we had a few Zooms in the beginning and they were like cheerleaders of each other, which is great. You hope for that, but you can't make that happen. It has to happen organically. And they were really supportive of each other, which I think is the biggest plus about the masturbation community as a whole. You know, they brought out their unique styles, and I'm so proud of each of them because they all like had a huge showcase at one or multiple times during the show. And like, I go back looking at videos that they made before the bait off, and then following their track through the show and then after. And with some of them, it's like, wow, like a plant that's bloomed, you know what I mean? That was like, that was there, but just opened so much wider. And really put themselves out there, and they did just amazing.
It's interesting to get your perspective from like your upbringing, like you know, I don't know what your sexual education was like or your sexual awakening was like, but as a baiter, to see it now be so commercialized and so mainstream, I personally think it is because I'm the person that's like in it, you know, I'm watching masturbation be talked about in mainstream media, and you have all these resources that you can really read, and you know, you have social media where you can get educated on the benefits of masturbation. How is that different from when you were growing up and trying to find your own sexual education resources?
Well, you know, I was born quite a while ago. I'm an old fart.
You're a hot dad.
I'm definitely in that daddy territory. Yeah, you know, I was raised here in Atlanta in the South. I think in my family, it just sex wasn't talked about. It just wasn't discussed. So I learned a lot from a cousin of mine, and started exploring masturbation pretty early, 10 years old, I think. And then my first ejaculation at 11 was really eye-opening, you know? Yes. And it wasn't until after that that I got to talk with my dad. And my dad was like, you know, it's perfectly natural for you to masturbate. I was like, yeah, I know. I've been doing it for quite some time. I didn't say that. But, you know, in my head, I was like, yeah, dad, yeah, I know.
I mean, that's a pretty cool dad to have that conversation and be like, yeah, knock yourself out.
Well, yeah. So what brought the chat on was that I was caught by my stepmom. So that was I don't know if the talk would have happened at 11. I don't remember how old I was when I was caught. 12, maybe 13. I don't remember. Yeah. I was caught. So then he was like, now just be careful where you do it. Be discreet. And then, my high school years were pretty informative because that's when I started really masturbating other guys. Mm. I went to boarding school in upstate New York, and, I kind of have this gift of getting any man out of their pants. Like,
how do you do that?
That's my super. Yeah. It's the way I talk. It's the way I get them to trust me. You know, like,
yeah, I feel like you're a pretty trusting individual. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, you have that aura about you. Mm-hmm.
So I had like, this could be a whole porn story, but I had tons of experiences masturbating the older guys. So I was, as a freshman, I always liked older guys. So I would jerk off seniors, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. And then when I was a senior, there was really no one for me to play with because all the older guys were gone. But boarding school was incredible. And I got away with some shit that I can't believe I got away with. Like, I didn't call it milking back then. I called it long stroking because I would take matters in my hands for a longer time than what they were used to.
I see. Yeah.
But I would jerk them off in the dorm showers, which were like, if you opened up the bathroom door, the showers were right there. Like, it's a wall of showers, you know, no stalls or anything. It's all a wall. So we could have been caught like at any time, but I was good about like, I know at 4:30, these guys are going to be at sports. The dorm masters are going to be, you know, coaching. Wow. I knew when the dorm was going to be. Yeah. So if I went back, like, I would do so much more knowing what I know now, like with what I got away with, I'm like, oh, I could have done so much more. So, yeah, that's Coach Origin story is stroking seniors in the shower.
That's a really interesting story.
I wrote a blog about it on Bait World years ago, and it did get like, I want more. I want to hear all about the other, like,
yeah.
I think that fantasy is, yeah.
So then once you got out of boarding school, college, you still stroking older guys then?
No, in college. So I guess you could say I was bisexual during the college years because I had a girlfriend at college and a boyfriend here in Atlanta, home. So I did stroke a couple guys, but they were like my age or a year older. Just that's what was available. I was a theater kid, and you know, theater kids do crazy. Anything with each other. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Next level.
Insane, like orgies every night, like crazy. So with a boyfriend, because men are much more jealous than women are, FYI. My girlfriend knew about my boyfriend. My boyfriend suspected but did not know about the girlfriend, was just constantly on me. It was crazy. So college was fun. Yeah, crazy. I didn't milk as much as like bucket orgies or, you know,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Bucket orgies? What's a bucket orgy?
No, fucked it orgies.
Oh, got it.
Have orgies, not stroking as much as fucking. Yeah.
Gotcha. Orgies are cool.
But a bucket orgy could be interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I was like,
just aim it in a bucket.
Yeah, do you just milk a bunch of men in a bucket? What happens to that
once everyone's done?
What, you milk yourself in a bucket?
For sure. Guys, other guys.
Oh, so what happens to the bucket stuff?
Well, they wanted me to drink it. I'm really not into drinking. I can drink cum from the faucet. Like, that's hot because it's still warm.
Yeah, from the source.
But like, from the source, but I call it faucet, source, whatever. I can't drink cum that's like even a little bit cold. Do you know what I mean? Like, it has to be fresh. And I always say I'm gonna do it, like I'm gonna eat my own cum, but then I'm like, after I'm done, I'm like, no way, because it's like already.
It's funny. I get a lot of people always asking, like, do you enjoy eating your own cum? And I got to say, I don't. I remember, like, when I was in high school, I, you know, always jerking off. And then I would always jerk off, like, in the showers, you know, before school. So it was, like, 6 a.m. because I, like, everyone was, like, up and at them at that time. And I remember being, like, jerking off cum. And I'm like, I'm going to taste it this time. And I did, and I don't know why it was so bad. Maybe it was like my diet at that time, but it was so bitter and I was so turned off from it. And I was like, I'm never eating cum again. But the thing that I was going to say about cum from the source is that, like, you're right. It's leaving the body. So it's like, it's still like, it's like a texture thing for me. Like, it's still like, it still kind of like has that, like it still like holds its shape. You know, and it is warm. I think when cum is just kind of like out of the body and kind of sitting around, it just kind of like turns into a watery, gooey mess. It's not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. And now I don't do oral per se. I'm not really into oral, and I kind of have a medical reason for that, which is kind of boring. But
to get it or to give it?
To get it. Okay. So I will, when someone is close, I will, you know, drink it from the source, but I don't blow guys really.
Got it.
So it's and I love pre-cum. Pre-cum, I like.
I wish I
guys who produce a lot of pre-cum are my favorite. Huh?
I know. I get so jealous. Like, I see these guys just like gushing. Like, they'll look at a picture of a dick and they already have a wet spot, and I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I want to be able to do that. Yeah. I don't pre-cum at all.
I do a lot when I'm milking because I'm so turned on. So my shorts at the end of a milking session look like I, you know, peed my pants because I leak a lot.
That's hot. So you're just like full-on raging boner where you're just like milking this dude?
Yeah, but it's not necessarily raging. It is sometimes, but I'm so into it. I'm so into the milking that it just flows out of me. Like, yeah, I'm surprised sometimes. I'm like, wow, I've re-cummed a lot, you know? It's hot, and it's also like, wow, crazy.
Well, what's your favorite thing about milking?
The connection. It's the connection with the guys, the bulls, excuse me. It's the trust that they have in me to take care of them. And I'm using air quotes when I say that, but I'm not really, and you know this about me, I'm not really the most sadistic dom out there. You know, I'm what you call more of a caring dom. I like to keep the bulls close. Like if they're leaning into my chest, I love that feeling, that connection.
Yeah,
means a lot to me, and that kind of goes with the whole coach vibe.
Is that your love? Is that your love language? Like physical touch?
Yeah. But it's also like the. It's going to sound so tutti frutti, but it's like the aura of it, like the bubble we put ourselves in because it's so intimate. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely a form of sex. So we are having sex, but it's like. It's that feeling, it's the vibe, it's the that's what really gets me, you know, because I've smelt so many dicks cut, you know, big dicks don't impress me really. I mean, they're fun, but like someone says, hey, I have a big dick, you should be. I'm like, yeah, been there, done that many times. Like what really gets me is like the if there's a connection there, even with the porn guy, you know.
Yeah,
I've experienced some really amazing connections and have it with others. So, you know, but yeah, that's what really, that's my favorite part. And then of course the cock, which I've always been obsessed with. Like even before I knew the word gay, I've always been obsessed with cock, like all the shapes, all the stages. I love soft dick. I love semis. I love, you know, I love it all. There's nothing about cocks I don't like.
It's true. Dicks are really cool. They're just really interesting to look at. They're also differently shaped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, they're also nuanced and like, yeah. I don't know.
When I was young, my grandmother had a book. I forgot the name. I think it was like the Book of Sex or whatever. But it showed like different ages of men, like from teenagers to like 30s or whatever. Or no, they were daddies in there too. And it's not like a porn book. It's more like of written with like medical terms, you know, the penis, the scrotum, the perineum, which a lot of guys like for me to use, even though my word is cock for sure. But like, I remember seeing the different stages of erection and the different sizes and the colors and the all that. And I was like, oh man, and now it's my life's work. So
if there is an inquiring penis out there, how does one become a bull of yours?
Well, because it's a business for me, the selling of the videos on the fan sites and all that, they would, if they're new, they would have to agree to be being filmed and to fill out the consent forms for the fan platforms. It can be anonymous, their head can be covered, but they have to consent to being filmed. There are exceptions. If I'm like really turned on by them, like, you know, we can do that privately. But for the most part, yeah, they have to agree to be filmed. You know me, I like hair. I'm not great with naturally smooth is good, is fine.
Yeah,
but smooth guys with some pubes and pits, I don't, the shaved look, I can't do. So at least pubes, they can be trimmed pubes, but I need hair down there. I know that's, I'm really picky.
No, I agree. I feel like when I start to reference people that have no pubic hair, especially men identifying, I think I need the hair too. Even if it is like a little buzzed, or just like a nice little shape.
Yeah.
Being a landing strip works well for me. Yeah, get your freak on. I like that too.
Stubble, I can't do. I just can't.
Stubble.
But like I said, a lot of guys have naturally smooth chests, and that's fine if that's, you know, but shaved chest, ooh, no way. What else do they need to? That's really it. That's really the only. Oh, and they need to. Save their load for at least 3 days before they see me. That's not too bad, is it? That's not too strict.
3 days minimum?
Yeah.
For
well,
Vader?
Two to
That's
three
hard
days.
As fuck.
Two minimum, at least three, if they can.
Oh my God, I'd be dying.
Well, I get a lot of them to edge so that they can, you know, handle the horniness that way, just not come. And then that's even hotter when they get on my table because, you know, they have a saved up load and they're frustrated and ready to burst.
Yeah, they're all edged up and ready for you.
Yeah.
Yes. I still want to go and be your assistant. I just want to be in the background and like watch how the magic is made.
Well, I love, so I do have a couple of bulls that help out with nips sometimes. Just because there are a few bulls who like to watch other sessions. So I'll let guys watch like in the corner, they can jerk off.
That's hot.
And then and then with some of them, if I have a guy who has a bull who has really sensitive nips, they can help me out with that because I'm so cock-centric or cock and prostate-centric.
Yeah.
Although I've been doing a lot of nip work this year with guys because I've worked with several who from nip play, and I love that. So I've done several. When I was in New York earlier this year, I did a ton of nip play. But yeah, I only have two hands, so if something else needs to be taken care of, I'm fine with some extra hands. It's really hot too.
Perfect. Yeah. Me in.
Just fly on down here. Help out.
Well, I mean, shit. I have all this free time in my hands. Yeah, your penis intern.
My cock turn. Yeah. Well, I call the non-porn guys my cock stars.
Oh, that's nice.
They're local. Yeah. So my local bulls who don't do porn, I call them my cock stars.
Oh, I see. So you take on clients privately. Like you're not always just smoking for the camera. You also milk men who don't want to be on camera.
Sometimes, but most of them are on camera. I film with them. I film with my bulls, my local bulls.
Well, do you ever get approached
BFB
by
an ATL?
Oh yeah, I know who that is. But I was curious to know, like, do you ever get just, you know, randomly hit up by men that are just like, I want you to stroke me, but I don't want to be filmed?
I do, but I don't really.
You don't really.
I don't really do it now because I don't have a ton of time for private stuff.
Yeah.
Unless, like I said, like if they're like hairy, like, you know, the things I love, I'm like, all right, we'll do a try, you know, let's see how it goes. So that's fun sometimes, but I don't have a ton of time to do private stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, easy. I don't charge for a session. It's the final product that makes me money. You know, it's the videos.
Yeah.
First XTube and then the fan sites. Now, unfortunately, XTube is gone, which sucks. But
I
could really, with XTube, I could see who was watching what and what was popular and what was, you know, people wrote like really long comments and like I really could interact with my followers. Whereas with the fan platforms, really, I get hardly any comments. Although I get likes, and I know I have a ton of followers, but they don't leave feedback. So I don't know like what's bringing them or what's like other porn accounts. I get referrals from those if I worked with those guys. But for the most part, I'm like, I hope you like this. Here you go.
Yeah, y'all got to be like vocal. Let Coach know what you want to see.
Yeah, please. Please tell me. Just don't say suck that cock, Coach. Well, for me to have the content to put out there.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So that's, if they don't agree to be filmed, that's pretty, it's like, okay. Have a good day.
Because you're not like making money off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You gotta
I'm a sex worker, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta pay that rent. I'm here for it. Yeah, I feel like make that money. I was having a conversation with Gay Hell
Oh.
Yeah. he was talking to me about all the crazy shit that's happening down in Florida.
Oh God, yeah.
Ugh. I know. It's wild. Is anything happening? Is anything happening around? You're in Atlanta, right?
I know. I'm like, oh God, poor Florida, but we have like a horrendous governor here.
That's what I was gonna say. What's going on in
Atlanta? I know. Well, our governor isn't burning books, but he's letting everybody who wants one have a gun. So yeah. So you don't even have, I mean, everybody has a right to carry. So it's like insane.
So
I mean,
anyone in Atlanta, you don't even know, could be just like carrying like strapped down the street. That is wild.
And I think Atlanta is one of the top cities with mall shootings, because we have a mall shooting like every month. And we're close to the perimeter. And Perimeter Mall, for the longest time, was like one of the only malls where there wasn't a shooting. And there was one in January. And I'm like, damn it, even Perimeter. I mean, it's like crazy, you know, in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of domestic violence and killings with guns at home and schools and stuff. But yeah, we have some of the, I could be wrong, I don't know the exact stats, but I think we're high in gun deaths. But yeah, Florida and Georgia together, it's like, ugh. But Atlanta itself is pretty liberal. You know, the city, the big city's liberal. It's just the places around Atlanta that.
Oh, is it? I don't know. I've never been to Atlanta. I would love to go visit.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's hot as shit right now, but it's it's pretty liberal.
It's so bad everywhere.
Yeah.
Makes you not want to put on any clothes, huh?
I actually have a bull who's coming to stay with me for the weekend, next weekend, and he's a nudist. And he said, Coach, do you mind if I like walk around naked when we're not filming? I'm like, no problem. But I was like, be careful, because a loose dick in my house frequently, you know, doesn't go untouched. And he's like, oh yeah, you can touch me whenever. I'm like, oh, I know. Yeah. We're going to, yeah.
I love that.
I'm probably going to like lead him by the dick. Like, let's go eat some dinner.
Oh my God. You heard it here, y'all. You know. You could walk around free balling at Coach's place.
No, naked. Like, he's a nudist. Like, nothing. Wear nothing.
It's a lifestyle.
I just said, have to make sure the dog doesn't think it's like a new big toy for him. So.
Yeah. And keep
the dog away. Jumping up can be a problem.
Yeah, keep the dog away from the family jewels. I do like exhibitionism. I feel like there's a certain charming quality about people who are just kind of like free with their bodies and are really comfortable and who they are. I feel like being more of an exhibitionist or kind of like tapping into that side of myself has been really healing. It's certainly been really cathartic just to like not have to apologize for what you look like. Like, this is who I am. This is how my body hair grows. This is the shape of who I am. And I don't know, I personally believe all bodies are beautiful.
Yeah, I think, well, and that's another thing about masturbators is I think, you know, I did a healthy friction right before I moved back. So it's like 2017. And I did the first Bait World Cock Summit. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm going to have to get naked in front of people, because I'm not like, you know, my whole scene is CMNM, clothed male, naked male. That's my fetish. That's the other thing I love about milking. So I'm not really a nudist.
That it turns you on that you're clothes, but they're yeah. Nude. Oh,
yeah. Cool. Well, it's also a power play too. You know, that's
true. Yes. Yes.
The power.
Yes.
But yeah, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to get naked in front of people. I don't know if I can handle this, because I'm not an exhibit. I'm a voyeur big time.
Got it.
I mean, that's why I do what I do. But I was like completely, especially with Healthy Friction, I was like, oh my God. But they gave me, I was in like the main house So I didn't have to get a room somewhere else. And they were like, you know, why don't you just set up a milking area? So we set up a milking sanctuary and the guys came to me. You know,
oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I was really busy that weekend. Crazy. But yeah, because I'm not an exhibition. I'm not a nudist at all. And I originally, when I started filming, I was not in the videos, just my hands. And then that kind of happened accidentally, actually. And then, yeah. Now you can't get rid of me.
Yeah, I find that it's, for me, it became like just getting used to my, like just getting used to the sight of myself on screen. You know, I think obviously, you know, everyone I think is their own worst critic. So you're constantly looking at yourself.
Oh God, yes.
You
oh,
can yeah, see yeah. all the little imperfections that no one else sees. But I was talking to a friend and I was just like, I think the only real person that's standing in your way of trying to do all these like really great sexual things is pretty much yourself. Like no one really else has a problem with it. I mean, like, yeah, like no one's making comments about my body. Like people are just like, yeah, like belly out, dick out, sun's out, have a great fucking time.
Yeah.
Now,
but again,
you take...
yeah, that's the masturbation community. Like there it's more accepting than I think the world yes. at large or
yes. Yeah. Yes. You're yeah. not gonna find that in like the WeHo community. Someone cruised me on Grindr the other day and I was like, yeah, let's fuck, like where do you live? And he's just like, I live in WeHo. And I was like, ah, X. I was like, I don't travel to WeHo. They're just like, as a general rule. And I was like, yeah, WeHo sucks. Like why am I gonna go into that territory? Every time I go into WeHo, I get anxious. It's like I'm on 10 every single time.
So I have a quick Grindr story. I've always said that I could not find bulls on Grindr because everybody just wants to fuck. But
yeah,
I started using it again after like 7 years. And there are a lot of sides on there. Like yes. side is now an option. Yeah. And there are a ton here in Atlanta. And I've actually found 3 bulls through Grindr in the last, how long have I been on? Like week and a half. So that's wild to me.
I was going to say, like, I was like, I'm sure crazy. That the landscape has completely changed in those 7 years for yes. sure. Yeah, I was talking to a friend and they were just like, what is this side thing? And I was just like, you know, it's this new term. It's like, I really love that, you know, sex continues to evolve and find different ways to be super inclusive. What was I going to ask you? Oh, I was going to ask you about... Like body differences when you choose your bulls, like, is that something that you're conscious of? Is that a conversation that you're having with people about like, hey, I should be showcasing like different like body types and like ethnicities and like how important is inclusivity to you in your work?
Well, it's very important. I think it's sometimes hard because there are groups or ethnicities that I've tried to find and it's not as easy in Atlanta as it is in LA. So when I was in LA and milking, it was very diverse. I had a lot more Asian bulls and it's harder here in Atlanta to find that, but I'm also working with a lot more Black guys, which is amazing, and uncut guys, which I can't get enough of, but they're, you know, in the US it's like that's there are not as many. So I need to go to Europe. I need to go to London for some uncut goodness. But yeah,
no, you just gotta come to LA. You gotta get all the like the Mexican boys out here.
yeah. I gotta what was I gonna say? Oh, like I love milking like bears. I was kind of reticent with twinks because I think I had my own bias about twinks, like, you know, bitchy, you know, all shaved, all smooth. That's it. Yeah. And they are smooth. But I met some really nice ones who were very politically astute, well read. Like I was like, oh, okay, so not all twinks are, you know, like
yeah
little bitches and pressing around, you know. That was my own bias, but I've had good experience so far. So yeah, inclusivity is very important.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's good not to like generalize a whole population of twinks.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I've certainly met some really cool twinks.
Yeah. Well, I think just because my history is really idolizing older men and older guys, but you know, I'm older now, so yeah, I've got to look back a little bit.
Well, what is it about older men that you found more attractive?
Well, like, so my mom was like a legendary party thrower, and she would have these huge holiday parties and you know, with tons of guests, and I would really never really fit in with my own age. Like, kids used to make fun of me, and I always thought they were dumb idiots. So I always hung out with the adults. I never sat at the kids' table. And my mom's friends especially always chatted with me or talked to me like I was an adult, like not like talk down to me, but like talk to me, you know, not at me.
Yeah.
And I think that was when I realized like I have a real connection with older men. And I like the wisdom. You know, it's less fumbling around with an older gent. So yeah.
I think there's something to be said about young boys admiring older males, and I don't think that's something that women can really relate to. It's just so specific to men, and this idea, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, when you're a young boy, you're just kind of like figuring out who you are as a male, and so then you begin to be puberty strikes, and you start to, you know, your body starts to change, and you start to like nurture all these male qualities about you. And it's, I don't know, like I grew up with an absentee father. And there's something to be said about having like a father figure in your life for young men. I know that's not possible for everybody, but
do you understand what it's like for younger men to look up to older men, or
yeah, because I feel like I've always wanted to have that
and then like, fetishize that.
Yeah, because I just never had it, like, and it just seems so foreign to me. So when I do see it, like when I see men have really great relationships with their fathers, I find it really attractive. And not like in an incest or, you know, sexual type of way, but like just right, kind of like right, a very like a guiding force to say like our journey or our lifestyles as men is so unique to us, and like you benefit from someone that's like has those years of experience to say, hey, listen, you're going to go through all these things and it's going to feel weird, and this is what you really can do to kind of help navigate those things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I romanticize that a little too much in my life.
But you know, well, no, I mean, I did a lot. I mean, I romanticized that a lot, especially in boarding school, because, you know, all the dorm masters were men. That we had maybe three or four female teachers, but it was all men. Mm-hmm. And upstate New York, that's New England. So they were always in a bow tie and a, you know, a suit. And then you would see them change into gym clothes and they were your coach. So it was like mentorship throughout the whole, you know, it wasn't just classroom. It was physical fitness and all that. I mean, mentors, I've had a few. I mean, I've always just been drawn to that, like that older hand, basically. So, yeah. So I love milking daddies. Let's bring it all back to me. I love milking daddies.
No, I mean, oh, I love that you love milking daddies. I feel like just, yeah, like for me, the perspective of like liking older men is that, like, you know, not having access to an older man of growing up and now kind of going for that as I've gotten older. But I feel like I'm a dad now, kind of, sort of. So it's like,
yeah.
Trying to teach myself, and you know.
Well, do you have a type? I mean, do you have a type of guy that you tend to go for? Like, do you have an ideal? It doesn't not everybody has to meet your ideal, but is there like, if you had your druthers, what would be? what would be your
I feel like I've gotten asked that question and I'm always just like, I don't know, like my answer is always I'll know it when I see it. Because when I think back on all the guys that I've like hooked up with, that I'm currently talking to, or that I've currently talked to, they're also different across the board. They're really young, they're older, they're daddies, they're uncles, they're midlife, they're Black, they're Hispanic, they're white, they're Asian. It's just, I don't know. I think for me, more than anything, it really is just like a vibe. Like if the chemistry is there, like I remember when I was in my early 20s, I think you're a little superficial, more superficial when you're younger, and it's all about, you know, looks and, you know, are they cute? Are they hot? Like, what are they looking like? But as I've gotten older, I'm just like, no, I'm not really paying attention to what people look like, but rather like, if I close my eyes and I feel, you know, an energy from you, that's what I'm most attracted to. Not doesn't really, maybe there's a word for that. Where you're attracted to someone's energy. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know what you would call it, but yeah.
I don't know.
My requirement is hair. I mean, you have to have hair.
Sure, I like hair. Yeah, but I don't I don't deny anyone on the basis of not having hair. I feel also
I deny the hairless. No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, take off your shirt.
I feel like I count the follicles.
Yeah, exactly. I also feel like I'm definitely on like the demisexual spectrum. Do you know what demisexual is?
I don't.
So demisexual means that you have a sexual attraction to someone that you're more intimately connected with. So like you can have sex with them if you like really feel them, if you have a connection, if you're talking, you know, if you vibe, if everything's on the up and up. But I think that for me focuses more when I'm going into like relationships, you know, like more long-term relationships. I mean, I can certainly hook up at a bathhouse. It's not a problem for me. But if I'm going to be spending that much time with you, I just want to make sure that I really like you, because I don't like a lot of people. I find most everyone annoying. I just want to make sure that you're not going to annoy the fuck out of me in bed.
Got it. Okay. Good. See, I think for me, I'm so lucky to have a husband who I'm celebrating 30 years with in a couple months, but like that grounds me. So I don't think about like, I did have an affair with a bull for about 6 months years ago, but that was different. But I don't like typically though, I don't think about like, long term, except to be like a regular bull, you know, who I see often. I'm pretty lucky that way, that I don't have to like, I don't get as emotionally involved. I mean, I do because I'm doing what I'm doing, like it's very intimate, and I'm
sure,
you know, I'm not a cold person, I'm very loving, in fact, and I'm generous of my spirit, so there's that, but I don't get like, you know. I understand what you're saying, but I'm so glad I don't have to, like, if I were single, I don't know what I'd be like, I'd be a mess.
It's hard. I mean, mess. Dating is hard, but I think,
especially in LA, my God.
Oh, LA's the fucking worst. Good luck dating in LA. I don't know. Well, first and foremost, I don't believe in marriage. Like, for me personally, I just think it's really archaic, and I don't believe in a lot of traditional things. So marriage is not on the table for me. So that's excluded a lot of men from my life, which is totally fine. I think I've just given up on the idea of like trying to find like this one person, you know, or like trying to settle. I think I worked really hard to deconstruct these ideas that I grew up with of like having to find this one person and having a family, and like that's kind of like your goal in life. I don't know, like I've just always been free thinking in my, like even when I was younger, it got me into a lot of trouble because I always just liked the unusual. Like I was always just a freak. Like I was always so excited by these other things that people or kids my age weren't thinking about. You know, like people were out having sex and I was climbing trees looking for aliens.
and I was so, marking the aliens. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, we got some on Earth now, so you might be lucky finding one in Atlanta. Right.
God.
But listen, people, I love love. So like if people find each other and they want to make that commitment to one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dick is out for you. I'll blow a load in your honor for sure. Wait, I was going to ask, how does your husband feel about you milking these men? Does he get to join in the fun or no?
He's watched one session, actually. Live? And it was someone from the first cast of Badoff, I'll have you guess. He's not, so he's the, my husband's like a baiter. Like, he doesn't edge himself, but he likes to come like four or five times in a row. So he likes to make it like doom, doom, doom. He loves that. And, you know, it's interesting, when we first moved to LA, we had a one bedroom apartment. And I used to read like all these fantasies on Bait World, like, wouldn't it be great to live in a bait house where all you did was masturbate? And that's actually what we had. We would drop trout at any second, any time, no matter what we were doing. And, you know, we had a very small space, so I could be in the kitchen jerking off and he could be in the bedroom. And then we'd like, you know, walk around jerking our dicks, nice. Which is hilarious. I mean, so I did live in a bait. I do live in a bait house. but yeah, he's edging bores him. Milking bores him. I've milked him a couple of times where, you know, I actually brought him down to my dugout, strapped him up to the bed, which he actually loved. He didn't realize he would like that, but he hasn't done it since. He was like, oh my God. And afterwards he's like, thanks, coach. I mean, we got into it.
That's hard.
But yeah, he's fine, especially when I started making money. He's like, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Go for it. I'm excited.
I'd be the same, but I'd be like, congrats, babe. We'll go out to dinner and celebrate.
And we have a house so that, you know, the bulls can come to the back and it's a separate entrance. And but he's met a few. He's met a few of the porn guys and has had some crushes. loved Alex Hawk. Totally fell like, oh my God.
I feel like it's part of the work perk.
Yeah.
You get to bring home sexy guys.
Yeah, he's deaf, so he doesn't have to hear anything if he doesn't want to.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
So you can get as loud as you want to.
You can't live with me for 30 years and not be able to turn off your hearing aids. You'd go nuts. Can you imagine living with me for 30 years? 30 years.
I can't imagine living with anyone for that long amount of time.
I know. I'm like, I worked in college so I could have like a single room, like no roommate. Yeah. I was always very independent. Like, I'm never going to do a like long-term boyfriend, never going to get nothing. And then we met 3 months after I graduated and he moved in a week after. So like total lesbians, like, yeah, 30 years.
Wait, where did y'all meet? In Atlanta?
Yeah.
In LA?
At a bar.
In Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah. We didn't move to LA until 99.
That's so romantic. Did you like eye each other from across the room?
I didn't tell you this story.
No. Ooh. I think our listeners would like to know.
So I kind of stole him from an ex of mine. My ex wanted to introduce me to this guy he'd gone on 3 dates with. And I walked into the bar to meet him. My ex was not around, but I went up these stairs. And this is what a bar that used to be called Burkhart's. It's now the Atlanta Eagle. The Atlanta Eagle took over, so now it's a big leather bar. But back then, there was at top of the staircase, there were like these stools, like along the banister. And he was at a stool. And I never used like a pickup line. I'd never done that. And I looked at him, I was like, oh my God. And I was like, can I get you a beer? And he looked at me, he's like, with a half full beer. He's like, sure.
Nice. Nice. Nice
and
move, coach.
Came back from the bar. And of course my ex was right there. So he's like, oh, this is the guy I wanted you to meet. I was like, God damn it. But it was lightning. It was scary as shit. Like as soon as I saw him, I was like struck. So it happens. But I've never
feel like
it's scary as shit. It's scary because you're like
terrifying to be
with him. It's scary as shit. And my ex saw it. He saw what was happening. And like they had only been on 3 dates. So he was like, cool, go for it. But I like to say I stole him from my ex.
Yeah, you did. You walked in there with that great beer line and he was hooked.
What a wonderful beer line when he had a beer. <It's great.
laughs> You can never have too many beers.
Right.
What is on the horizon for Milk and Coach? Like, how do you see that expanding your business? What are some cool things you're working on?
So I'm doing a lot more traveling.
Cool.
To meet more guys. I mean, most of them are in the porn industry. I feel like kind of tapped out in the Atlanta guys. Like, that feeling where it's like, okay, like, they don't want to come back after one session, or they're just like total flakes. Like, I don't have a lot of patience with that. Like,
I know you don't.
So, yeah. No. So, been traveling. I've been doing more collaborations with other DOMs, like tag teaming, or I worked with this great roper in New York who's. Like his work is like his roping is art. It's incredible. Like I admire roping, but I have no talent in it or patience, but I love his work. And it was so great to work with him. Like I would love to team up with guys or other DOMs who have different skills, because that's always so much fun. Like, seeing what they do while I'm doing what I do. And like, trying out each other's stuff, finding a tag team partner is like just as important as a bull. You got to have that kind of wordless communication going on, like just go with the flow. And I've been really lucky with some great partners. So I'm doing more like theme stuff. Like August for Milk and Coach, I have 3 dungeon scenes. One's a 2-parter. So it's going to be Dungeon August. Yeah. Again with our friend Colby Jack. That'll be fun. And I'm traveling. I have some stuff coming up. So I'm gonna do some different collaborations. In 2021, I made 2 like full movies, meaning they have 4 scenes each. I wanna do more of those. Yeah. With like a cast and do like, several scenes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So trying.
Well, you just had a scene drop with Colby today.
Yes,
it's called Colby's Dream.
Yeah,
it's really pretty. Did you see the treatment that he did on the picture? He looks so cool. He's so good.
He's like an artist. Like he like all the stuff we did for Hansi with The Hitchhiker, which is our first movie we put out. Like he did all the design on that. He did. These title cards, like, because we really both love retro porn.
Yeah,
like my favorite porn era is like late 70s early 80s.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And yeah, so he really, I mean, he's amazing. He does these cards. He's like very so talented in so many ways, but and he makes these posters that are terrific. And yeah, he's someone to work with.
Yeah, he's great. And where can people follow you and watch your hot vids?
So Twitter is Milk and Coach. I put up some hot previews, sometimes full scenes, so you can get a look on action. On OnlyFans and Just for Fans, it's Milk and Coach. OnlyFans is a little cheaper because there are less movies. They deleted like 175 of my movies. But I've got like 670 on Just for Fans. I know that because a couple of weeks ago it was 666. I was like, oh shit, I better add another one. Although I do love my Satanist followers, I have quite a few. Nice. Let's see, on Instagram, I'm the Melkin Coach, because Melkin Coach was deleted a while back. And I love making stories. Like, I'm really not good at Instagram. I'm not that consistent. I need to do more and more, but I love stories and putting music and like seeing how far I can push the button. I love doing O face videos, like at the end of my scenes, just the face.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, I love doing that. I need to do more of the older scenes. Give them that treatment. But yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks so much for hopping on the show and talking to me. I really enjoyed hearing all the really cool work that you're doing, continue to do. And I hope you have fun in all your really cool travels and get to touch as many dicks as your heart desires.
Well, I'm looking to come to LA soon, so hopefully we'll hook up in person.
Yeah, you can definitely touch my dick.
We just can't drink as much as we did last time.
Oh yeah. We didn't even drink that much, Coach. You're a lightweight.
Well, I don't do a lot of mixed drinks at home. I'm a wine guy. Okay. So when I do like mixed liquor, I'm like, but I love that I'll post it, that little drunk hug that we had, and we are so cute.
I love that, because we were just like, let's get the fuck out of here. So we ended up going, where did we end up going? To the Eagle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good time. Well, I definitely have to do that again when you come back to LA. And you'll be back here soon. Sir. So that'll happen really quickly. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks again. I hope everyone who's listened to this episode enjoys the conversation with Milking Coach. Please check out all of his sexy, sexy videos. Continue to follow him on social media. He's going to continue to do all this really great work. And we'll see each other around, Coach.
Thanks, buddy. Great talking to you.
Bye, y'all.
Cheers.